ओम ज्ञान तिमिरंदस्य ज्ञानांजना शलाकाय चक्षुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदामायं ददाति स्वापदंतिकम् नमः ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नीति नामने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे ये विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात्य देश धारिणे वंश कौप ध्रुव्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर हर शिवासरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो इट इज अ ग्रेट ऑनर एंड प्लेजर एंड प्रिविलेज टू बी विथ ऑल ऑफ यू एंड स्पेशली सिटिंग नेक्स्ट टू हिज होलीनेस हिंदुदूम्य स्वामी महाराज फॉर दिस फ्लावर फेस्टिवल. Speaking of the feasts that we enjoyed together, once we were at a devotee's house in South Africa, and he kept bringing more preparations, and I was asking him, let us know what's coming so we know how to pace ourselves. And he said, this is the last one. But then he would keep bringing more and more. And then I turned to His Holiness Indradumya Swami, what are we going to do? And Maharaj said, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, one should not eat too much or eat too little. So today we're focusing on not eating too little. On the way here, we visited Srinathji Das's family. And I should say a little about him. Late Srinathji Das, because he was very instrumental in getting this facility that we have now. Originally, there were many tenants occupying space in this building, and he managed to vacate all of them. You know, He was good at court cases, and His Holiness Radhanath Swami said that he liked court cases. we have to remember his service in vacating all the different entities that had space here and making it all available for Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. Today is Sri Advaita Acharya's appearance day. It's a very auspicious day. And I thought I would read something related to this. Maybe the internet.
I think the internet's very strong.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing. Let's see. I have it in my documents. I don't know if I can find my documents. Okay. Got it. So, today is Sri Advaita Acharya's appearance day. And there's a history. This story, which I'm about to relate, was heard from the pujari at Sri Advaita Acharya's house in Shantipur, West Bengal. He came to the ISKCON Chaitanya Chandradaya Mandir in Mayapur with a copy of the Back to Godhead article about Srila Prabhupada entitled A Lifetime in Preparation. This is what the pujari said. Just recently, an amazing realization occurred to me that I wanted to share with devotees everywhere. I have been the pujari and sevite at the house of Advaita Acharya for many years. I was also back in the 1940s and 50s. At that time, I noticed one Grihastha, Bengali devotee, was coming to the temple quite regularly. He was dressed in white khadi dhoti and kurta, and he always came alone. He would sit in the back of the mandir without speaking, and would chant Hari Nam on his mala very quietly and deeply. He came on the weekends, usually once every month or two. After chanting there for many hours, he would always thank me, and then he left. His presence was profound, and I became attracted to him. Since his devotions were solitary, I never spoke to disturb him. Sometimes I happened to notice that while he was chanting, his eyes would be full of tears. Then, for a very long time, he did not come. But in August of 1965, I saw a saffron cloth sannyasi sitting at the back of the mandir and recognized him to be my old friend. Again, he sat for a long time chanting Hare Krishna. I could see his beads moving, his eyes closed in concentrated devotion. He was weeping unabashedly, even more than he used to, while he was chanting the holy name. Finally, as evening came, he paid his dandavat pranam for a long time. When he arose, he came up to me and again thanked me for my seva here at Advaita Bhavan. I asked him, "Who are you? I remember you from so long ago." He replied, "My name is Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj. I am an unworthy disciple of His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, my Divine Master. I have been coming here for such a long time because my Gurudev has given me an impossible mission. His desire was for me to go across the ocean to the western countries and spread the sublime teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are countless souls there who have never heard of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, and so they are suffering greatly. I have not known how this mission of his will be successful. So I have been coming here to the special house of Advaita Acharya, where he, Nityananda Prabhu, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would gather together to plan the Sankirtan movement. It was here that they launched the inundation of love of God that swept India and continues to this day. Thus, I have been praying very earnestly here that they will give me their mercy, that somehow they will empower me and guide me. I want to satisfy my Gurudev's desire, but I am feeling unqualified to do this." As he was speaking to me, I saw tears falling down on his cheeks again. Then he continued, "Tomorrow I am leaving for Calcutta to go upon a ship across the ocean to America. I do not know what will befall me there, but I am praying most earnestly here for help." Then he very humbly asked me for my blessings. I was moved by this Vaishnava's sincerity and determination as I watched him depart upon his journey. It was a few years later that I began noticing, for the first time, white Vaishnavas coming to Advaita Bhavan. They were wearing dhotis and saris and chanting on Tulsi Mala. I never spoke to any of them, but then one of them gave me this Back to Godhead magazine from America. As I looked at the photographs, suddenly I recognized a picture of the founder Acharya, who had brought Krishna consciousness to the West. It was my friend, Bhaktivedanta Swami, who had come and prayed here so many times before. Then I realized that he had actually accomplished that impossible mission of his Gurudev. I saw that it was he, starting alone and without pretense, who had accomplished this glorious miracle against all odds. As soon as I saw this, I came here to his temple in Mayapur to tell you this information. I know that he has gone from this world now, but I thought perhaps you might want to know this story about your and my beloved Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, yeah, he was so sincere and earnest and humble and determined to execute the order of his spiritual master, which seemed impossible. And when he first arrived in America, the response wasn't so encouraging. And he would periodically go to the Sindhya Steam Navigation Company. Sumati Maharaji had given him free passage on the Jaladuta to come to America from India. And he would periodically go and check the schedule when there was a ship returning to India. But then he thought, well, let me try a little longer. And then eventually, you know, some, as he would say, young boys and girls came forward to help him. And he began the movement in New York, and from there it spread to different cities in America, including Boston. And it was in Boston that I first saw Srila Prabhupada. When I was in high school, I had the desire to achieve perfect happiness. But I understood that perfect happiness could not be achieved materially, but only spiritually. Then I came to understand that one could not progress spiritually without a guru. So then my quest became to find my guru. And I met many gurus, or so-called gurus, and I was disappointed with all of them. And I almost gave up hope. Further, I had a vague mental impression of what my guru looked like. And he didn't have hair. And all the other gurus had long hair and beards. So that added to my sense of hopelessness. So one night, there was I saw a poster on my university campus, a lecture, Bhagavad Gita as it is, Swami Bhaktivedanta. So that night, I had some friends over at my apartment for dinner. I was a vegetarian by then. And we were planning to go to the movies. So after dinner, I said, you know, there's this lecture on the campus, and I think I want to go. And all my friends objected. They said, well, we were going to the movies. I said, okay, well, we'll go to a later show. So then one friend in particular, a lady friend, said, why can't you be normal like other people? Why do you always have to be chasing after these swamis and gurus? And I was an obliging type of person. I didn't want to upset anyone. And I tried to go along with their idea, but something in my heart just was impelling me that I must go to this lecture. So she raised her voice, and She said, "What?" I said, "You know, why can't you be normal like other people? Why do you always have to be going after these swamis and gurus?" And I said, "All right, this will be the last one I ever go to." So we went to the campus, and Srila Prabhupada was on stage with devotees, and because of all the discussion, we reached late, and they were having the second kirtan, and students from the audience were climbing up onto the stage and joining the devotees, chanting and dancing. And I also felt like doing that, but I thought that would be too much for my friends. So I just stood up in place and swayed back and forth. And then afterwards, Satsvarupa announced if there are any devotees driving to Boston or Cambridge, the devotees need a lift. And I was driving to Harvard Square to the movie. So I met the devotees in the lobby. And the first devotee I spoke to was Bharadraj Prabhu. And he was like really high on Krishna consciousness. I mean, I didn't tell you about all the other like swamis and masters I met, but all of their students, almost all of their students, were very mundane and morose. And so Bharadraj stood out as being very different from the students of the others. And so I said, you know, I have a car. I had a Red Rambler station wagon that my father gave me as my high school graduation present. So I invited the devotees to come into the car. And so in the front seat was a lady devotee named Janava. And I had so many questions, and I started to ask her. I asked her about Yogananda, because I'd read his book, Autobiography of a Yogi. And she said, "Oh, Yogananda, he's just a shopkeeper. Whatever you want, he keeps it in stock. You want Krishna, he has Krishna. You want Durga, he has Durga. You want Ganesh, he has Ganesh. You want..." So she's going on like that. And she said, "If you ever go to his ashram in California, he has a memorial to Mahatma Gandhi as a worker for world peace." And she said, "Mahatma Gandhi didn't work for world peace. He worked to drive the British out of India. He doesn't even know who Mahatma Gandhi is." So then I asked her about Zen, and she gave a brilliant explanation that was better than any explanation of Zen I had ever read. And she said, "It's like you're watching images on a movie screen, but they have no substance. But if you draw your attention back from the movie screen, you'll see there's a beam of light, and that comes to a point, and I go, oh, that's the void. But then behind that, there's a bulb, and there's a machine, and behind the machine, there's a person." I thought, wow, that's amazing. So then I thought, you know, she's speaking with such authority, but she's just a young girl, you know, she can't be speaking on her own authority. It must be the authority of her teacher. So we got to Harvard Square. I let the devotees out. And then I realized I didn't know how to get in touch with them. So I jumped out of the car, and the first devotee I caught up with was Patit Pavan. And he was also very transcendental. He said, "You see all these people? They're just like sleepwalkers. They don't know who they are or where they're going." And I was fascinated. And then meanwhile, I heard the loud honking of horns because all the traffic at Harvard Square was backed up because I left the car there. So I said, "You know, please give me the address. I want to meet the Swami." So I went the next night, and Srila Prabhupada was speaking, but because I was not familiar with the philosophy and I wasn't used to his accent, he had a pretty thick Bengali accent, then I couldn't follow everything he was saying. But he said, "Out of many thousands of men, one will seek perfection." And I thought, that's me. He's talking about me. So then he asked for questions, and I asked mine. And I said, "There are so many swamis and gurus, and each recommends a different process of realization, and each says his is the best. So how do I know which is actually the best?" And he replied, "What is your goal?" Because I was asking what is the best means, but to determine what is the best means, you have to determine what is the end that you want to reach by that means. He said, "What is your goal? Do you want to serve God, or do you want to become God? If you want to become God, that means you're not God now. And how can not God become God?" And he said, "Krishna is God. He's always God. He's God when he's playing on the lap of Mother Yashoda. He's God when he's speaking the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. He never has to become God by yoga or meditation." And he said, if you sow the seed of service to God and water it with chanting, God will give you the sunlight and all the favorable conditions to make the plant grow. But if you want to become God, you're only cheating yourself, because why should God help the competition?" So I said, you can become godly, but you cannot become God. So I had the distinct feeling that Srila Prabhupada was seeing right through me, through the walls of the temple, over the roads, into my apartment, into my bathroom, where on the wall I had inscribed in very ornate, colorful lettering a sign that said, "You are God." And I thought, "Oh my God." So, meanwhile, Srila Prabhupada said, "So what do you think? You want to become God, or you want to serve God?" So I said, I want to serve God, but actually I wanted to become God. I knew I couldn't cheat Srila Prabhupada. And he said, "Yes." So then I knew I met my perfect master, and I bowed down my head in obeisance and surrender. And I kept it down for a long time because, mainly in surrender, but I was also afraid to look up because I thought people would be glaring at me. Oh, he wanted to become God. But then after a while, I heard sounds that indicated that food was being served. So I thought, okay, it's probably safe to come up. And I looked around. Nobody was glaring at me. Everyone was smiling and happy. And I saw this amazing plate of prasad. And the first item I bit into was a cauliflower pakora. And there was like such an explosion of taste in my mouth, like nothing I'd experienced before. And every item was fantastic. And I just thought everything about Krishna consciousness is perfect. The guru, the philosophy, the process, the chanting, and the food, you know, everything about it. But then, after a few days, the devotees said that Srila Prabhupada was leaving. And I didn't know that he would leave. I didn't know that there were other centers that he had to visit. So I said, would you like to come to the airport to see him off? I said, yes. And at the airport, many of the devotees were crying. And I asked Arundhati why. And she said, Srila Prabhupada said that on the absolute platform, meeting and separation are the same. And it sounded good, but I wasn't sure how practical it was. But we waited. We saw Srila Prabhupada off. And the devotees watched until the aircraft disappeared in the distance, in the sky. Because Srila Prabhupada had said that when the spiritual master leaves, we should watch the airplane until it disappears in the distance, just as the gopis watched the chariot of Krishna when he was being taken to Mathura until it disappeared in the distance. So everything was good except that Prabhupada left. But then one day, when we were doing Harinam Sankirtan in front of the Copley Square subway station, I felt Srila Prabhupada's presence descend upon me. It was so tangible and palpable. And then I thought of what Arundhati had said, that yes, he's there. And he's always there for all of us. So during Srila Prabhupada's presence, I took it as my main service to bring people to him. And then after he left, I was thinking, now what will my service be? But now I feel I can still bring people to him. He's still available. His mercy is there. His books are there. His temples are there. His followers are there. And yeah, I feel satisfied. Because I know if somehow or other someone comes in touch with Srila Prabhupada, his or her life will be completely successful. So, yeah, it's a great pleasure to be here with all of you, and especially next to His Holiness Indradumya Swami and with other disciples of Srila Prabhupada here. Do you know the schedule? Do we?
And they start now.
Okay. All right. So no questions and answers. All right. So now we will move on to the next part of the program. Thank you for listening so patiently and attentively. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Or Bhaktavinoda ki jai. Hare Krishna.